Are y'all ready to get your head all twisted? Here it is, one of those sermons today. You're going to need every bit of your thinking capabilities. Here we go. Little two-week series called Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, No Man's Land, Breaking Spiritual Bondage. Mystery Babylon appears in the Bible. Four chapters in the book of Revelation. We'll see it. Mystery Babylon, it's a place you don't want to be. No man's land. Breaking spiritual bondage. I'm going to look at it for 2 weeks. Okay? So 2 weeks, we're going to look at this subject in your Bible, Mystery Babylon. Okay? Going to look at some history. It's going to be a little crazy. You're going to, oh my gosh. All right? Are you ready to roll? Here we go. Let's go with the message this morning. Mystery Babylon. What in the world is that talking about? How many have ever heard of Babylon? You've heard of Babylon, all right? You even hear about it in your news occasionally sometimes. Babylon. It's modern-day, guess, Iraq. It's modern-day what? It's modern-day what? It's funny to me when I read my Bible, so much of what's on my news is also in my Bible. Amen. Say. And that's not a problem. That's good news to me. That means this word I have is the word of God. It's true. Amen. Which I believed that before I saw the news, but it just encourages my heart. Amen? Here we go. Let's go with the message. First of all, what is Mystery Babylon? Now, we could stop right there and let you leave today with whatever knowledge you have. Or we can push it forward and see if we can learn. Y'all want to learn? You want to learn something? Here we go. Let's go with the word this morning. Well, it's just that. Anytime you see the word mystery in front of something, it must be a what? It must be a what? So that means it's sort of difficult to find out. I'm the kind of guy, when I'd watch Sherlock Holmes or something like that, or Murder, She Wrote, remember that show years ago? I'm like, I couldn't have figured out sometime. You know what I mean? Some people just get this stuff. But anyway, this is definitely a toughie. All right? So let's see what we can find out about this subject, Mystery Babylon. And by the way, we don't want to just have information to have information. What can this do for me? How can this help me in my life? It's in the Word of God, certainly. We know God's Word doesn't return void, so this can help me in my life. So let's see what we can learn today and see how we can help ourselves as well. So, the mystery is a mystery. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John received a revelation on this ministry, on this mystery. Wonder what book that was in. The book of what? So he received a revelation, and this mystery is foretold in the book of Revelation. Okay? Here it is. It's some pretty graphic stuff. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, or bowls. And they talked with me, saying, come unto me, come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore. That's tough language in the Bible. That sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. She was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This line always gets me at the end. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. There's some kind of pull that darkness has. Y'all listening? Some kind of pull on us, isn't it? Now, some of us will lie and just, we're all holier than thou. No, I never have any struggle with sin. But isn't there something alluring? Something that pulls, tugs? And that's how I read this. The last line, I could be wrong on it, and I've got a couple of serious theologians in the audience this morning. But the bottom line is, it's just always amazed me that when John saw her and heard these horrible words describing this horrible thing, he wondered at her with great admiration. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Now, how can we learn? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament prophets and see what we can learn about Babylon. And just get a little history on Babylon this morning. So if you can hang in here with me, don't go to sleep. Isaiah 47, I could go to several places in the Bible, but we're going to go just a couple this morning. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover your locks, make bare your leg, uncover your thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Mystery Babylon, what John seemed to see in the last days. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be an end to this. We'll talk about it. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Your name shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet you as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name. Say it with me. The Holy One of Israel. So in Isaiah, there seems to be a passage there where we can see some kind of future judgment on Mystery Babylon, the evil we see in the book of Revelation. Jeremiah 50, verse 22. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How, say it with me, is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? Now, I know if you're like me this morning, so far you're just totally confused. But that's okay. I mean, hey, this is the Bible. I put it on the screen. We read it. We look at it. Let's see what we can learn. Okay? See what we can do to uncover this thing. It's going to take us a couple of weeks to unpackage it. But we're going to do it. Here we go. Mystery Babylon. Let's look at it. Let's talk a little bit about this. Out of 22 chapters, say 22. 22. That's how many chapters of the book of Revelation. Out of 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, the mystery, or Mystery Babylon, is a major player in chapters 14, 16, 17, and 18. So out of 22, the subject we're looking at today and trying to unveil over the next couple of weeks takes place in about four chapters. That's a lot. All right, keep looking. So it's important that we try to personally understand this mystery. So we're going to try over the next couple of weeks. If it's that important to God to give four chapters on it, in the book of Revelation, a book on end times, what's going to happen in the last days, then it should be very important to who? Ah, so keep attention, pay attention, hang in here with me. Babylon. So Mystery Babylon. Let's go back and let's just look a little bit. First of all, Babylon. Say that with me. I'm trying to keep you with me this morning. Babylon. Okay, for sure, it's a biblical city. It's a biblical city. Actually, it still exists today. Okay, in the lower part of Iraq. But it's a biblical city. You see it throughout the Bible. This city dominated the world politically, economically, and militarily. So quite frankly, there could have been no better name in the end times, speaking of some kind of unusual force of darkness, than Mystery Babylon, to talk about it like that, because Babylon was a powerful force back in the day. Babylonian roots. Let's look at some of those. You'll find out about Babylon in Genesis 11. Let's just hang in here and look at this. This is literal Babylon. And the whole earth was of one language. God created man. God created woman. Go multiply the earth. Now, whether you've been taught something else, it's up to you if you're going to believe your Bible. I believe the Bible. When the Bible tells me something, guess what? I what? I believe it. Okay, I have faith in God. I have faith in His Word. Certain things I don't understand in the Bible. As I look at Mystery Babylon, this is a toughie, man. This is rough. I mean, I don't understand all this stuff. But we're going to take a look at it. But the bottom line, when I read my Bible and it says, and the whole earth was of one language, guess what I believe? I believe in the beginning, when God created man and woman, go multiply, replenish. I believe they were in one language. I believe that. Okay? Do I understand it all? No. But I thank God for the Bible. It gives me an explanation. How do you figure out all the languages of the earth? You got an idea? Say. How do y'all get here? How y'all talking this, that, the other, and this stuff going on? The Bible addresses it. Look at it. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, let's burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, they had slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a what? Whose top may reach where? And this might seem goofy to you, but you didn't live back then. And we learned through civilizations how man's tried to find God through building different things and different stuff. Well, this is what the Bible tells us happened. Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto what? And let us make a what? Say that again. Let us make a. One more time. Let us make a. Because we're going to learn later about Mystery Babylon. Let us make a what? Lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to the city and to the tower which the children of men build. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they've imagined that they can do. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Where am I at, Raj? Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not be able to understand one another's speech. Excuse me. So the Lord scattered them, what? Abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build that city. Hang in here with me. Therefore is the name of it called what? Babel. You ever told somebody you just what? You're babbling. Yeah. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So if you're in the church today, you're with me this morning, and someone were to ask you, how did languages get different language all across the world? How do people speak different languages? Your answer should be, if you believe your Bible, there was an event in history, early in history, where man tried to make a name for himself, to build a tower to God. Now, that sounds goofy to us today. How many times you've done something goofy? Say. How many ever tried to make a name for yourself, do for you? You see what I'm saying? They ain't that goofy. Okay? All right? So the point is, that's what happened. And God judged them for making a name for themselves. And God judged them and said, if they do this, they're going to do all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to confound their language and scatter them. So that's how the languages of the earth became what they are today. According to what? And that might not be good enough for you. It's good enough for me. You understand? Yes or no? It's good enough for me, man. Now, after the flood, so men sought to build a tower. So after the flood, men sought to build a tower that reached where? Into heaven. Man's going to make a name for himself. Just learning some history of where Babylon came from. Man's going to get himself some what? Glory. And God put an end to this humanistic view of religion. And if we learn anything, is that God doesn't want us to get any glory. Y'all hearing me today or not? God does not want us to get any glory. We can't handle glory. Say that with me. We can't handle glory. God's God and we're not. Say that with me. God's God and we're not. All glory belongs to the Lord. And that's what we learn here from scrambling. So God simply, because He's God, scrambled the language. And that's where you get babbling from. People just babbling, can't understand what they're saying. Well, go back to their day. That was really funny. What? I don't know. You know? Craziness. Little bit of history on where Babylon came from. So that's the roots of Babylon. Goes all the way back to the tower of what? And the plains of what? Shinar. But Babylon was not finished. Keep looking. Babylon's effect on the Jewish people. Throughout history, Babylon was a hater of Jews. Do we see a lot of that in the Middle East today? Yes or no? Is it incredible? Absolutely. Okay? So this what we see today has roots way back when. Babylon's effect on the Jewish people. Babylon became a mighty nation. controlled much of the world through history. Babylon actually destroyed the temple of Jerusalem in 6 BC. Okay? Ruled the world. They carried away the children of Israel into captivity and into slavery. Much of your Bible talks about this. Bondage and defilement. The official captivity lasted for 70 years. The Babylonian captivity of the Jewish people. However, look at this. Look at this. What happened way back in 586 BC, look at it. However, this captivity of the Jewish people and dispersion from the land of Israel continued. Say it with me, for about how many years? 2,500 years. So what we're talking about way back when, hope I haven't lost you, but I imagine I have, this mystery Babylon, this evil empire that we see in the Scriptures, wanting the glory, not being led of God, but hating God's people, the Jewish people. It's gone on from almost the beginning of time, almost, it seems like. But this bondage that they were under lasted for 2,500 years. What do I mean? It was 1948. How many were born before 1948? Can I see your hand? In your lifetime, Israel was still in bondage, basically from the Babylonian captivity. In your lifetime, and in 1948, they became a nation. We're talking about Revelation. I know I went way back, and now I'm talking about now. But we're talking about something mentioned in the book of Revelation that actually you can sort of see happen a little bit in your lifetime. Okay? Are we living in the end times? Could these be the last days? I don't know, but it's sure smelling like it. Looking like it. Just looking at some scripture today. What can we learn? So in 1948, Israel was actually back in their land. First time since the Babylonian captivity way back in 586 B.C. And so for the next 3 years, say it with me, about how many thousand Jews? 700,000 Jews came back into the land of Israel in your lifetime. In just those 3 years. Okay? Some say that the Babylonian captivity really ended when? In our what? In our lifetime. And if that's the case, wow, the ramifications that we see at end times, the book of Revelation, tell you what, it's incredible. Okay? Anyway, let's just keep looking. I imagine I've got some confusion out there, but that's okay. Just want you to know a little bit about where Babylon came from. Where do we find out Babylon came from? First time it came from the Tower of what? In the plains of Shinar, became a great world power. Okay, could rule the world. Okay? They had a devastating effect and cruelty on the people of God, the Jewish people. Took them into captivity in 586. Lasted 70 years. But quite frankly, it lasted 2,500 years. The Jewish people got back in their own land back in 1948. So far, so good? Keep looking. Babylon's effect on Christians. And that's what we'd like to talk about over the next, this week and next Sunday as well. Babylon is far more than a city or a place of Jewish exile. Okay? We see evil things. We see incredible things mentioned in the book of Revelation. What is this mystery Babylon in the last days? So, we found out the roots of where Babylon came from. What is mystery Babylon in the Bible? What is mystery Babylon in the Bible? Say it with me. Say this whole screen with me. It is a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. Say that with me. It is a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. I want you to get it down. What is mystery Babylon in the Word of God? We know historically what it was. We see it still exists today in Iraq. Okay? We still see the location exists. What is it to in spiritual matters? It is a what? Code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. Keep looking. For sure, Mystery Babylon is about religious harlotry and abomination to God. We read that. For sure, Mystery Babylon is about religious what? And abomination to God. Mystery Babylon is about religious harlotry and abomination to God. God views this as a very evil thing. God views it as committing adultery. Okay? Look at this. Upon her forehead was written a name. Mystery Babylon the Great. Say it with me. The mother of and an abomination of the earth. So Mystery Babylon has to do with religion, false religion, turned against God. Okay, keep looking. Let's look at some symptoms. This is where we're going to get maybe make some sense of stuff. Y'all ready? Whoo, I'm wore out. Here we go. Six symptoms of Mystery Babylon. How can I know if I have some of the symptoms of Mystery Babylon? How can I know if in the last days some of that spirit is working in me? That's what I want to do, is bring it back home. Mystery Babylon, abomination. It's bondage. It's defilement. How can I escape Mystery Babylon? How can I come out of this thing that's not of God, that God sees as wrong, as fornication, as horrible against Him? Number one, first symptom of Mystery Babylon, say it with me, is what? Say it louder. Pride. Number one. Is that sort of what happened way back in Genesis 11? Absolutely. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make a what? A name for ourselves. There's no place ever in the Christian life for you and I to promote ourselves, make a name for ourselves. Nothing wrong with having a business. Nothing wrong putting your name on the business. But there's something when you think it's all about you, where you think you built the business. You listening? Say, giving glory to the Lord. Okay, nothing wrong with working hard. Man, no, getting ahead. But who gets the credit? God. This is a symptom in the last days. We're going to be full of ourselves. Okay? Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done. Do unto her, for she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. So one of the symptoms of Mystery Babylon in my life that I need to watch out for in the last days, are these the last days? I'm not sure if they are or not, but all I know I deal with that in my life. How about you? I struggle with that. Behold, I am against you, O thou most proud, says the Lord God of hosts. For thy day is come, and the time that I will visit you. God's going to put it down. How much she hath glorified herself. She's lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she says in her heart, say it with me, I sit as a, and am no widow, and she shall see no sorrow. It's incredible. So, first symptom of Mystery Babylon in our life that we can fight, that we can come out of, that's what the Bible says, come out of her, come out of her, come out of her. We should come out of pride. We should run from pride. Look at Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He's the Son of the living God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. That's who we're to be like. Say this with me. Much of the church today is about selfishness and making a name for ourselves. Would you say that with me? Come on, let's read it together. Much of the church today is about and making a, let's say it again. Much of the church today is about and making a name for ourselves. At Fellowship Church, we're not about making a name for ourselves. Okay? Not to say we're not human. We can get full of ourselves. That's not who we are. We love Jesus and we love who? We love Jesus and we love who? People. Not about making a name for ourselves. The number one reason we're building that facility debt-free is so God can get all the what. Did y'all hear me or not this morning? The number one reason we are building a facility debt-free is so God gets all the glory, period. Okay? We might say something on a hat. We're doing it debt-free. Okay? Well, God uses people to do stuff. Okay? Doesn't mean because we're doing it, we're full of ourselves. Because last time I checked, we do have to do stuff. Amen? Say. Amen? But bottom line, we're not about making a name for ourselves. You shouldn't be about making a name for yourself. Because if you do, that's a sign of Mystery Babylon, the harlot, the mother of harlots, that great whore, I hate the language, at work in your life. Did you hear the message this morning? Keep looking. Let's look at another one real quick and we'll quit. Idolatry. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. This is speaking of Babylon. Worshipping customs, preferences, and people. Say that with me. Worshipping customs, preferences, and people. Say it again. Worshipping customs, preferences, and people. One more time. Worshipping customs, preferences, and people. A sign of mystery Babylon in the last days. Much of the church today is not immune to idol worship. We literally break fellowship with other believers in Christ because the music is different than what we like. Did y'all hear me or not? We literally break fellowship with other Christians because of a Bible version that might not be the Bible version you grew up with as a kid. Is that right, Pastor Lindo? Pastor Lindo, we've been around a little while. We know certain preachers in our country that people, certain other believers, wouldn't fellowship with you if you didn't give them a good word or a good name or say you believed in them and you followed the way they taught the word or the way they believed you should wear your hair. Is that true or false? Listen, a sign of mystery. Does God get all the glory or some man? Say, somebody tell me. God gets all the glory. Listen, much of the church today is full of customs, preferences. You can call it what you want. It's idol worship. Okay? Hey. I threw some of my favorites up there. Some of them ain't, obviously. I'll let you try to pick them. But the point is, all men fall. All men come short of the glory of God. We shouldn't worship any man or woman. Is that right, church? Yes or no? Okay. We're guilty of worshiping Hollywood stars, politicians, sports heroes, and even television preachers. And even local ones. Don't worship me. Okay? Some of you went, I don't. Good! You're more spiritual than you realized. Good! Now I'm serious. So, we're going to just look at two today. There's another list. We'll get into it next week. So, the first two we looked at today that hits home in our own life is pride and what? Idolatry. Amen. I know it's a little deep subject. I hope you learned something today, a little bit different. But anyway, let's do a checkup on ourselves. Instead of just trying to think, are these the last days, these last days, these last days? How about is it the last days in your life? How are you doing? Is Mystery Babylon at work in you? Amen? Come on, let's stand on up. Thank you much for being here this morning. Appreciate it. We'll continue this. We'll see the next four next Sunday morning. Hope you don't miss. They're pretty interesting.